It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, December 2nd. I'm Patricia Naft. Yesterday was the last day for comment on the proposed clean power plan for the EPA. The plan would cut carbon emissions from power plants by 30% from their 2005 levels. According to the EPA, power plants account for a third of all greenhouse gas emissions in the U.S. It's part of a broader plan to curb global warming. Some areas, even here on the Western Slope, are particularly vulnerable to climate change, places like Telluride. This is Mayor Stu Frazier.
If you look at the southwest corner of Colorado and realize that not far away from us are the flatlands of Arizona and New Mexico, in the desert, basically, we are in a situation, a geographic situation, where when climate change takes place, we conceivably will have shorter winters and longer summers. And we're fortunate in that we have a balanced economy that covers summers and winters, but we could conceivably end up having substantially shorter winters. And it would have an effect upon the economy. It would have an effect upon the community itself, people that make a living off of tourists coming here.
That is why Telluride joined several other ski towns and resorts in voicing their support for the Clean Power Plan. It was organized by a group, Snow Riders International.
And the goal behind the letter, and they've done some other things similar to this, is to contact the EPA with signatures from a lot of supporting communities and governments about putting in place emission standards and emission controls as much as you possibly can, trying to cut back our greenhouse gas emissions. I'm not really sure that there are many things that are getting resolved in Washington at this point, so I don't know whether the letter will have any impact at all. But for us not to be part of that statement would be us just saying that it's all foolishness and we're not concerned with it. And we are concerned with it.
And now that the comment period is closed, the EPA will be crafting a final plan.
Two Western Slope organizations have been awarded grants to promote fair access to health care. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Live Well Montrose Olathe received $200,000 from Colorado Trust, a health foundation, and Tri-County Health Network got $180,000 from the group. Tara Wick with Live Well Montrose Olathe explains how her organization will use the funds.
The overarching plan is to create a group called Health Equity Advocacy Team. The shorthand is HEAT. And the mission of HEAT is to grow the capacity of the people and agencies to organize and advocate for health equity in Montrose County.
Wick says Live Well also plans to use the money to collect data on health disparities in Montrose County. She says the advocacy team will use the data to come up with ideas on how to improve health care in the community. In total, Colorado Trust gave 17 organizations across the state grants to advance health equity. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
With the dust settling from last month's election, all eyes are on the next legislative session. To figure out what is on the horizon, KVNF's Jake Ryan talked with State House reporter Benta Berkland.
So Benta, what can we expect to see in this upcoming session?
I think one of the big focuses will be surrounding oil and gas legislation. We have a task force created by Governor John Hickenlooper to examine fracking and ways to mitigate disturbances to homeowners and communities while still allowing the drilling to take place. And that task force is holding meetings right now, and they're supposed to come forward with recommendations by February. And hopefully some of those recommendations would go through the State House and get bipartisan support. At least that's the goal of the governor and members of the task force. So we'll see what consensus they come to. It's been a very contentious issue, but one that I think a lot of people will be focused on next session.
Yeah. How do you think it will fare with the now divided Capitol?
I think it may make it more challenging. As you noted, Republicans gain control of the state Senate while Democrats remain in control of the House. We still have a Democratic governor, but it's going to make it challenging. And the divided session, Republicans have already said they plan to bring up some controversial issues. For instance, they want to repeal stricter gun laws that Democrats enacted. They also are looking at a renewable energy mandate they weren't that happy about. And those will definitely be very divided. I think we'll see a lot of bills maybe in both chambers that get a lot of debate and have long floor flights and may pass something, for instance, may pass out of the Republican-controlled Senate only to fail in the Democratic-controlled House. So we'll see. Oil and gas doesn't exactly fall on party lines. There's definitely Democrats that are more pro-industry and Republic, you know, and may align with Republicans on that issue. But, you know, it is largely party lines, but I think there's some wiggle room. And proponents of the task force and people who are trying to find a middle ground are hoping that on the topic of energy that can be found with the gun laws. You know, some Republicans want to repeal them, but Democrats, there's no way they're going to loosen any of those restrictions that they passed.
Why don't you think any Democrats will be on that side? Why is it much more of a partisan issue?
I take that back. There could be a couple Democrats, because when the Democratic-controlled legislature passed stricter gun laws in 2013, there were some Democrats who joined with Republicans to vote against those proposals. So there are a handful of Democrats who don't agree with the magazine limit ban and universal background checks, but there would not be enough Democrats to cross over to repeal any of those bills. So, it's just one of those issues that, depending upon your perspective, people come out on opposite sides of it. I think Democrats feel like it's, largely protecting public safety, whereas Republicans, believe it's an infringement on their Second Amendment rights. And, it's hard to find a lot of middle ground on that issue.
All right. Well, Benta, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That was Jake Ryan talking with State House reporter Benta Berkland. Artist James Searle's sculpture Sewing the Future was installed in Carbondale late last month. People cheered as the 20-foot-tall bronze and steel piece was erected in the middle of a new roundabout at Main Street and Highway 133. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin has more.
It took over an hour to truck in different parts of the sculpture, stand them up, and bolt them down in the middle of the Highway 133 roundabout. But many people, like Terry Kirk, stayed to watch the whole thing.
It's great to see it up and get up. We've been waiting for it for a long time, and I think the whole community, the whole valley will enjoy it.
The sculpture features elements like a thread, needles, a flower, and a tree coming out of a long green vase. The artist James Searles donated the sculpture to the town, and the community raised enough funds to repay him for his materials. Marcy Krivenin, Aspen Public Radio News.
And finally, a new campaign to curb vehicle thefts in Colorado. Coloradans Against Auto Theft is a coalition of law enforcement agencies that is trying to get people not to leave their cars running and unattended, a common sight on cold mornings. Last year, over 11,500 vehicles were stolen in Colorado, and it's estimated that about half of all stolen vehicles had the keys in them or were left running at the time. Stay tuned for Tay and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.